Here are the WGXC headlines for Wednesday, March 15th. Local residents are still digging out of more than 2 feet of snow in places, with National Grid and Central Hudson still reporting thousands of electricity outages. A Russian fighter jet struck the propeller of a U.S. surveillance drone over the Black Sea on March 14th in a, quote, brazen violation of international law, unquote, according to U.S. officials. The incident caused American forces to bring down the unmanned aerial vehicle. A proposal in the state Senate would raise the minimum wage in New York and then tie future raises to inflation. Book banning has come to the Greenville School District, with one parent wanting to cancel George M. Johnson's All Boys Aren't Blue book and remove it from the library. School officials did not respond to comments to remove the book from the parent at a school board meeting. And there are still widespread power outages from the wet snow and now heavy winds. Lots of the power is out, especially in Rensselaer and Columbia counties.
Hi, this is Alana from Sauk Hill. I'm the host of There There on WGXC Acra, Hudson, and Catskill. Radio for open ears.
Here are the school closings and delays for Wednesday, March 15th. Many schools are closed. Others are on two-hour delays, so you should check carefully as the status may change. The Andy School District in Delaware County is delayed 2 hours today. Berkshire Community College is closed and will reopen on Thursday. Berkshire Montessori School is closed. Berkshire Hills Regional School District is closed. The Berlin schools in Rensselaer County are closed. The Burn Knox Westerloo schools in Albany County are closed. There's no after-school programs, no PM BOCES, and the offices are closed there. Caro Durham schools are closed. The Catskill schools are delayed 2 hours. Chatham schools are closed. The school and office is closed. No remote learning. Chatham Kids Club is closed. No AM program, no after-school program. Coarc Adult Transportation in Columbia County is delayed for 2 hours. The Columbia Christian Academy is closed. The Columbia Green Community College is delayed 2 hours. Offices open at 10 a.m. Coxsackie Athens schools are delayed 2 hours. There's no AM BOCES and no breakfast there. East Greenbush schools are delayed 2 hours in Rensselaer County, as is the Echo Kids program in Rensselaer County. The Emma L. Miller School in Berkshire is closed. Germantown schools are closed. Office staff and 12-month employees report at 10 a.m. There is a Board of Education meeting in Germantown at 6:30 p.m. The Grapeville Christian School in Greene County is closed today. Greenville schools are closed. Hawthorne Valley schools are closed today in Columbia County. Hoosick Falls schools in Rensselaer County are delayed 2 hours. The Hudson City schools are closed. Hudson Valley Community College is delayed until 10 a.m. It's spring break, so there's no classes. Ichabod Crane schools are delayed 2 hours. Lansingburg schools in Rensselaer County are delayed 2 hours. Lenox schools in Berkshire County are closed. Margaretville schools in Delaware County are delayed 2 hours. New Lebanon schools in Columbia County are delayed 2 hours. Pine Plain schools in Dutchess County are closed. Rensselaer City schools in Rensselaer County are delayed 2 hours. And Taconic Hills schools in Columbia County are closed today. Troy City schools are delayed 2 hours. And Wyndham Ashlett Jewett schools in Greene County are closed today. Check your school to see if it's open or closed today.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org and add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to wgxc.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ralph Gartner of Valation, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about these stories. Jamel Cutler at Columbia Green Media reports that the Hudson Housing Authority has a proposal to replace the Bliss Towers and Columbia apartments with new housing on three city-owned locations. The new housing would be built on Warren and Front Streets, at the northeast corner of Columbia and 2nd Streets, and adjacent to the north side of State Street. While it would not add needed affordable housing to the city, it would upgrade the apartments. Jeffrey Dodson, executive director of the Hudson Housing Authority, said that no one currently living in the buildings will go without a home. Quote, that is not the plan for residents to be displaced, unquote, Dodson said. Quote, the plan is to relocate properly before any movement starts. That's a priority. It all depends on the plan's start and what the phases of construction will be. It's not planned for anyone to be displaced, unquote. Dodson also said, quote, what we're offering is to demolish each of these Columbia and Bliss towers because they're 50 years old this year. They're not sustainable structures. We want to give residents something new and fresh with the appearance of something that fits this community, unquote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that Ulster County has a proposal to better the affordable housing situation locally with a public hearing at 7:15 p.m. March 21st on a proposed local law defining affordable housing as a, quote, county purpose, unquote, and a vital function for the county's services. Approval of that law would give the county broad powers to develop, manage, and maintain affordable housing projects in the county. Currently, they can regulate and incentivize others building housing, but need a new law to create new affordable housing. The public hearing was originally scheduled for March 14th, but the snowstorm postponed the meeting a week. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. On March 14th, the snowstorm continued in the Hudson Valley. Governor Kathy Hochul warned of gusty winds up to 45 miles per hour possible on Wednesday. Quote, as forecasted, several regions experienced between a foot and 2 feet of snow overnight, and conditions will continue to be hazardous for travel, unquote, Hochul said. Quote, my team is in constant contact with local officials, and the National Guard is at the ready to assist with any necessary emergency response over the next 2 days as power outages remain a concern, unquote. More than 80,000 New Yorkers were without power in the afternoon on March 14th. The New York State Thruway Authority, New York State Police, and New York State Department of Transportation lifted all previous restrictions on tandem and empty tractor trailers at 2 p.m. on March 14th. This has been the WGXC Daily News. Go to the WGXC newsroom for more information at wgxc.org.
Hello, and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, March 15th. Local early morning temperatures range from 23 degrees in Tannersville to 34 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 35. And I got snow totals for you. 2.6 inches in Athens, 4 inches in Red Hook, 5.5 in Germantown, 8.5 in Cairo, 13.5 inches in Greenville, 16 in Tannersville, 20 in Hillsdale, and 28 in Jewett. Little bit of light snow might be seen at large in the local area, should all be gone by 9 a.m. Wind gusts will be around all day. Some places may experience blowing snow and drifts, so just take it nice and easy out there, especially if you're driving. We get a high of 37 degrees at 3 p.m. Overnight, temperatures dip to 25 degrees, and the wind gusts come to a rest. Tomorrow, nice, calm winds and a high of 47. You're welcome. Overnight, still calm as temperatures dip gently to 36 degrees. Friday, expect light rain and a high of 48. Saturday, rain ends by the afternoon and we get a high of 47. Sunset today will be at 6:47 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:04 a.m. Looking way up, we see reverberations from Monday's CME visit, plus a fresh impact early today are causing radio blackouts around both poles. Solar wind speed is currently 534 kilometers per second at 18.9 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently poor till dark, then fair below 8 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 5.6, storm level. The current sunspot number is 97, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Hi, everybody. This is Timmy Whippoorwill calling to you live from inside the oak tree. Please give what you can to WGXC.org/donate. Check it out. Their webpage is live, it's fresh, it's exciting and new. Even us here in the Whippoorwill community approve of such a place. WGXC is here for you, so why don't you be there for them?
Tell me, say one thing Nancy can't understand. One thing Nancy can't understand. What make them talk about me ambition? Say what make them talk about me ambition? Come and say some of them ask me where me get it from. Tell some of them ask me where me get it from. I told them no, no, it's from creation. I told them no, no, it's from creation. Bam, bam, hey yo, what a bam.
That was Sister Nancy with Bam Bam on the radio at WGXC.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
So let's finish the job. Ban assault weapons. Ban them again. Do it now. Enough. Do something. Do something big.
President Joe Biden called on Congress Tuesday to reduce the impact of gun violence on communities across the country. Speaking from Monterey Park, California, where a gunman killed 20 people last January, Biden announced an executive order meant to increase the number of background checks and promote safer firearm storage. EPA Administrator Michael Regan says his agency has proposed the first federal limits on what are known as PFAS, or forever chemicals, in drinking water.
These unregulated chemical compounds quickly became prominent in our everyday lives, propelled by the promise of a better life made easier, supposedly, by technology.
Now mostly phased out, PFAS chemicals have been tied to cancers, heart disease, and birth defects. The Justice Department will investigate last week's collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and the actions of its senior executives. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell has also said his agency would investigate, but Senator Elizabeth Warren tells MSNBC Powell led the charge to weaken banking oversight.
He ran further than a lot of people even thought the law let him.
Warren contended the bank loaded up on risk to increase profits. The North Carolina Supreme Court has allowed a rare rehearing of a case which could lead to extreme gerrymandering of electoral districts. A previous court upheld district boundaries drawn by the courts just 3 months ago, but a new GOP court majority is revisiting the decision. Bob Phillips of Common Cause says the court got it right the first time.
What is happening today in the building behind us is completely unnecessary and, frankly, outrageous.
State lawmakers are promoting the so-called independent legislature theory, claiming states may regulate all elections with zero oversight from the courts or federal government. The Texas Senate has approved legislation to raise the penalty for voting illegally from a misdemeanor to a felony, sentencing those convicted to as much as 20 years in prison and more than $10,000 in fines. The state of Ohio is suing Norfolk Southern Railroad for recklessly endangering the health of residents following last month's hazardous train derailment. Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost says the railway's accident rate is up 80% over the past decade.
At least 20 Norfolk and Southern derailments since 2015 have included chemical spills.
And Republican lawmakers in South Carolina say a woman who gets an abortion should be eligible for the death penalty. A bill being considered would redefine person under state law to include a fertilized egg, giving it equal protection under the state's homicide laws. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. March 14th and 15th, the North Carolina Supreme Court rehears two cases it decided just last December. One case reduces forms of IDs that voters can use for elections. The other may disrupt the Moore v. Harper U.S. Supreme Court case and saddle North Carolina voters with gerrymandered congressional districts. Conservatives became a 5-2 majority of the state Supreme Court in January, and anti-voter legislators immediately filed to have the cases reheard. The new majority agreed to rehear both cases. In Harper v. Hall, the state's high court previously threw out the gerrymandered congressional voting district maps as unconstitutional. The case became the Moore v. Harper independent state legislature case in the U.S. Supreme Court, which was heard in December 2022. The fringe ISL theory could give any state legislature complete authority over voting rules and elections, higher than courts or governors. The state court is expected to overturn Harper v. Hall and likely make the SCOTUS case moot, but it would also force North Carolinians into unfair gerrymandered voting district maps. In the second case, Holmes v. Moore, the state court had ruled that the legislature's narrow voter ID requirements targeted black and poor voters and was unconstitutional. It, too, is expected to be overturned by the new conservative majority. We have more on the cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beale.
Welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda.
I'm going to tell our listeners about what's playing in the Wyndham Movie Theater in Wyndham, New York. We have Shazam, Fury of the Gods, Cocaine Bear, and Scream 6. You can find out more about what's playing at the Wyndham Movie Theater at WyndhamTheater.com. That's WyndhamTheater.com.
And now I'm going to tell you what's playing at the Crandall Theater in Chatham. We have 80 for Brady, a movie that I thought was fake for a really long time, but it turns out it's a real movie.
We'll talk about it later.
We'll talk, yeah. We also have at the Crandall Everything Everywhere All at Once, you may have heard of it, Raiders of the Lost Ark, The Quiet Girl, Navalny, Magic Mike's Last Dance, Turn Every Page, The Bee Movie, great news for Bee Movie lovers, Emily, All Quiet on the Western Front, In Viaggio, a movie that has a picture of the Pope on it, The Secret Life of Pets, One Fine Morning, and The Lorax. And those are all movies that are coming up for March and April. So head on over to crandalltheater.org to find the specific showtimes if you're interested in any of those many, many movies.
I mean, it sounds like a lot of the Oscar winners are being screened. Mm-hmm. So I would hurry on over for that. I'm very interested in Navalny.
I know, me too. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, we all learned from watching the Oscars that it's a very good-looking family. I was going to say something maybe more inappropriate, which is that it's a good-looking family. So I'm going to tell you about what's playing at TSL, otherwise known as Time and Space Limited, in Hudson, New York. This week, we have The Forger, Rome Open City, Hudson, America, Close, Rewind and Play, Mary Cassatt, which looks exhibition on screen.
Lovely.
You know, sweet. So that's what's playing this week. But there is, as always, just like at the Crandall, a lot going on at TSL. So I encourage you to head to timeandspace.org to check out their whole month calendar.
Alrighty, now I'm going to tell you it's playing at the two Upstate Films locations, which first of all, Upstate, if you did not hear, has introduced Open Caption Thursdays, which is really cool. So on Thursdays, they will be doing open caption screenings for people who want that, whether they be hard of hearing or just like watching movies with captions like I do. only when it's available, but it looks like they're trying to do it every Thursday. So if that interests you, go out there and support it. Very cool. So playing in Rhinebeck, which is the Star Cinema, we have The Quiet Girl, The Conformist, Close Up, An Evening with Nick Quested, Return to Soul, Elvis, and All That Breathes. And then playing over at the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties, we have Cocaine Bear, The Conformist, Warren's Real Life Reveal, An Evening of Storytelling and Music. All Quiet on the Western Front, Creed 3, and One Fine Morning. And you can find those showtimes at upstatefilms.org.
Last but not least, I'm going to tell you about what's playing at Spotlight Cinemas in Hudson, New York, otherwise known as the Fairview 8 Screen Cinema. At the Spotlight Cinema, we have 65, which is that movie with Adam Driver, where it looks like finally somebody made a movie where people accidentally take a time machine back to dinosaurs and it's really bad, which I've been waiting for forever. I'm like, why? I think that's what that movie's about.
I think you're right, because I saw the trailer and that's exactly what it gave. So I think you're right.
Yeah, it's giving. So we have 65. We have Champions, Creed 3, Cocaine Bear, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, A Man Called Otto, Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, Oscar nominated, and Scream. And I'm assuming it is Scream 6. They do not specify, but it's got to be. And that is what's playing at the Spotlight Cinemas in Hudson, New York. Please check out more about what's playing and when at spotlightcinemas.com/Hudson.
Amazing. I gotta say, the Scream 6 poster, although I think I'm pretty good with Roman numerals, every time I see it, I think it's 4 for some reason.
Oh, yeah, no, I took a beat because we're Roman numerals dyslexic, I guess. That I looks like it's in front of the V and not the other way around.
Right, it's a weird shape to choose to make into a 6.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my one critique.
Well, they're trying to make it look like the M in Scream.
Right, totally.
So technically, if the middle of the M is the V, there could be an I on either side.
You're right. You're right. They did it to us on purpose.
Yeah, it was very confusing.
Three is a magic number. Yes, it is. It's a magic number. Somewhere in the ancient mystic trinity, you get three as a magic number. The past and the present and the future, faith and hope and charity, the heart and the brain and the body give you three as a magic number. It takes three legs to make a tripod or to make a table stand. It takes three wheels to make a vehicle called a tricycle. Every triangle has three corners. Every triangle has three sides. No more, no less. You don't have to guess. When it's three, you can see it's a magic number. A man and a woman had a little baby. Yes, they did. They had three in the family. That's a magic number. 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 27, 30. 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 27, 30.
Multiply backwards from 3 times 10.
3 times 10 is
30.
3 times 9 is
27.
3 times 8 is
24.
3 times 7 is
21.
3 times 6 is 18.
3 times 5 is
15.
3 times 4 is
12. 3 times 3 is 9. 3 times 2 is 6. And 3 times 1 is 3, of course.
Now take the pattern once more. 3.
3, 6, 9.
12.
12, 15, 18.
21.
21, 24, 27. 30.
Now multiply from 10 backwards.
3 times 10 is
30. Keep going.
3 times 9 is 27.
3 times 8 is
24. 3 times 7 is
21.
3 times 6 is 18.
3 times 5 is 15.
3 times 4 is
12.
And 3 times 3 is 9. And 3 times 2 is 6. And 3 times 1.
What is it?
3!
Yeah,
that's a magic number. A man and a woman had a little baby. Yes, they did. They had three in the family. That's a magic number.
Walking across the floor. I love counting, counting to the number four. Oh, you're counting, counting with me to one less than five and one more than three.
Whoa, oh,
we're counting to four.
Whoa, oh,
let's count some more. One, two, three, four penguins that went by the door. Sure, I love counting, counting to the number four.
Oh,
we're counting to four.
Oh,
let's count some more. One, two, three, four, chickens just back from the shore. One, two, three, four, penguins that were by the door. One, two, three, four, monsters walking across the floor. Counting to four.
Hey, I'm Spike Priggin, host of the Bedazzled Radio Hour. Broadcast every week from 12:10 until 2 p.m. Wednesday afternoon, live from Spike's Record Rack, 400 Main Street in the Village of Catskill. Every Wednesday, I play pop, rock, soul, country, blues, reggae, and other obscurities, and once in a while, a hit or two. Please check out the Bedazzled Radio Hour with Spike Priggin on WGXE 90.7 FM, ACRA, every Wednesday from 12:10 until 2.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined by Lizzie O, who is a coalition organizer for Public Power New York. And they recently released a new report on how the benefits would accrue if we were to do the Build Public Renewable Act, which is to get the New York Power Authority to build more renewable energy. This bill did pass the state Senate last year, as people know, but was blocked in the assembly. It has again passed the Senate, just like Governor Cuomo did 4 years ago. Governor Hochul did include something to do build renewables in NYPA in the budget. So we've asked Lizzie on to give us an update on the new report. But why don't we first start, give us a brief overview. What does the Build Public Renewable Act do, and how does that maybe differ from what the governor's proposing?
Totally. Thanks, Mark, for having me. So the governor's proposal It did give the authority for NYPA to build renewable energy. However, it didn't include all of our best and strong provisions to ensure that it is a truly just transition. So she didn't include our strong labor provisions, prevailing wage, apprenticeship programs, all of that. And she didn't include democratization elements, which would allow NYPA's board to include members of the public. And also she did not include a mandate to build, which would make sure that NYPA actually builds renewable energy. So we are still fighting for our entire package, for our whole bill, because we believe that it is far better than what Governor Hochul has proposed.
Now, this new report, I know one of the things I read was that it particularly looks at, you know, if NYPA was building public renewables, it would be able to pull down quite a bit of money, I think over $1 billion from the new Inflation Reduction Act, the climate package that Congress proposed for funding. But what are some of the key findings of the study?
Well, basically, because of the IRA, we have a ton of financial incentives for NYPA to actually build renewable energy. So New York could, as a whole, save $1.2 billion through 2050. By replacing, you know, NYPA's own fossil fuel generation with renewables by 2030. And we are eligible for a ton of tax credits, which, you know, for NYPA would be direct payments, and also grants from the Department of Energy and the EPA, so that we can mitigate some of the harms that have been done to environmental justice communities. So overall, there are a ton of financial incentives, and it really behooves us to use that to make sure that New Yorkers save money, we save consumers money, and all of this is run through a public authority like NYPA.
Right. And also, I assume one of the key points is that New York has passed a climate law that, you know, sets out, you know, some good goals to try to expand renewable energy. And if the state was going to meet them, one would assume that trying to get NYPA on board to build out renewables would be real helpful, because actually, last I looked, New York State only had about 5 or 6% of its state electricity coming from wind and solar, and that's after 20 years of setting a goal to substantially increase renewable energy.
That's totally right. The report also found out that we are not on our way to meet the goals of the CLCPA, which mandated that, you know, we decarbonize by a substantial amount by 2030 and reduce carbon emissions. So NYPA actually having the authority, but also the mandate to meet our CLCPA goals will actually give New York it will show that New York is actually committed to working on climate, making sure that we are reducing carbon emissions, and also ensuring that our energy system is not constantly being, you know, is not a parasite and taking up too much of, you know, consumers' ability to pay their utility bills.
Now, we're in the midst of, you know, the state, you know, dealing its budget. Governor proposed a budget February 1st, middle of March, right about now. The two houses put out, you know, their budget proposals. Then they have two and a half weeks to negotiate, usually towards the middle. As I said, the state Senate, you know, already passed the Build Public Renewables Act. The governor has put something in her budget about public renewables. Do we know yet, you know, what's the assembly doing? Often the assembly will say, we don't want to do any policy in the budget. We'd like to do it post-budget. How are things looking right now in the legislature and with the governor on actually getting across the finish line?
Totally. So we know that the Senate has passed it. We are hearing that the Assembly One House budget also includes big bulk of what is included in the Build Public Renewables Act in the budget language. So we hope, and you know, we're going to continue to fight to make sure that when Carl Speaker Hastie and the majority leader Andrea Stewart Cousins are negotiating with Governor Hochul, we get everything, especially labor democratization elements and the mandate to build. And we reject Hochul's proposal because it seems like the assembly has spoken, New Yorkers have spoken. This is an incredibly popular bill. And it really is, you know, up to the leadership to make the right decision and make sure that we get the whole bill passed.
Now, when the state passed what's called the CLCPA climate law, I guess 3.5-4 years ago, the big thing that the governor took out, being Governor Cuomo, was the labor provisions. As you said, that was not in Hochul's proposal. And democratization of NYPA, my wild guess, is not what the state bureaucrats tend to embrace. So how do the labor provisions and the democratization part, you know, seem to be going, particularly with the governor?
Yeah, well, the governor has included no labor provisions, and we labor unions actually and labor leaders who would be directly impacted submitted a letter to the governor saying that they are in favor of including labor provisions in all the climate bills. So we think that a just transition, when we are transitioning away from fossil fuel capitalism towards one that is based off of renewable energy, it should be able to provide really solid green new jobs for working people. And we should also in turn have a say over how those jobs are built and where they're implemented, right? We want to make sure that traditionally disproportionately impacted communities who have borne the brunt of fossil fuel you know, infrastructure are able to also benefit from this legislation. And that means that we need to have a seat at the table. And so we are fighting for those elements. You know, I live in Astoria where we have the most number of peaker plants, right? And I want to make sure that whatever energy infrastructure is being built is going to be benefiting my community and not in the hands of private capitalists. So we want to make sure that this happens. And so we're fighting hard for these provisions.
So we've been talking with Lizzie O, coalition organizer for Public Power in New York, about the Build Public Renewables Act, among other things. In the last 60 seconds, two-part question. If people want to read this report, find out more information, keep up to date on the public Renewable Act campaign, how can they do so? And if they want to express their opinion to the governor or state lawmakers, how best can they do that?
Definitely. If you want to find out more, please go to publicpowerny.org. That's publicpowerny.org. And you can find more information, read our report, and also express your opinion in support of the full BPRA to Governor Hochul.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Lizzie O, Coalition for Public Power. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. The Times Union rounds up some reports from the massive snowstorm that covered the Hudson Valley on March 14th. Heavy wet snow has caused breaking branches and tree falling, some on utility wires, knocking out power to thousands of homes, especially in Rensselaer, Columbia, and Dutchess counties. The East Durham and Earlton fire departments lost power during the storm but were still operational. Law enforcement warned roads were impassable, making it difficult to get to stranded vehicles. The region saw around 5 to 11 inches by midday on March 14th, with heavier snow in the higher elevations, according to the National Weather Service in Albany. The southern Adirondacks, Mohawk, and Schoharie Valleys and Catskill saw around 10 to 16 inches, while Berkshire and Green Mountains got the most, from 2 to 2.5 feet. There were 16 inches in Knox in southern Albany County and 13.5 inches in Hunter on the mountaintop in Green County. Green County Emergency Manager Dan King urged residents to stay home, and I quote, so the road crews could do their work, end quote. High winds are forecast until March 15th, and many side roads will not be clear until then. In Syracuse, a Delta Airlines plane veered off a paved surface as it taxied for takeoff on March 14th. No one was injured, and the airport remained open. Tannersville Mayor Lee McGonigal called the storm, and I quote, pretty significant, end quote, and said it created, and I quote, some heavy work for the municipality, end quote. The weather here was such big national news that the Weather Channel had correspondence with many live shots from Poughkeepsie and the Berkshires during the storm. Read the full story in the Times Union. Nancy Kern reports for Columbia Green Media that the Green County Industrial Development Agency has reached a tentative agreement to extend the tax break for the natural gas-fired electric generation plant Athens Gen for another 20 years. If the tentative agreement holds, the pay in lieu of taxes will mean Athens Gin makes annual payments of more than $5 million to the county, with increases every 5 years for the next 20 years. But not all local residents are fans of Athens Gin or giving tax breaks to large companies. Cairo resident Mary Fenneran called Athens Gin, and I quote, one of the top three toxin emitters in the state, end quote. The Greene County Industrial Development Agency meets March 29th to discuss this issue and others. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Melanie Lekasevic for Capital Region Independent Media reports that Coyman's Planning Zoning Board of Appeals attorney Andrew Brick resigned February 27th, and some town board members are upset. In his letter of resignation, Brick said that Coyman's town supervisor, George McHugh, asked him to resign. Brick wrote to McHugh, and I quote, "You informed me that the town had received correspondence from a law firm retained by Nolan Propane Company alleging a bias in my representation of the Planning Board Zoning Board of Appeals. Not having been afforded a copy of such correspondence, I cannot comment upon any specific allegations contained therein, but I can state this. I stand behind each and every statement made, position taken, opinion offered, recommendation suggested, and piece of legal advice provided to the Planning Board, Zoning Board of Appeals during my tenure as their attorney, each and every one. Clearly, I cannot continue to effectively represent a board when its own chairman has chosen to hire legal counsel to publicly attack my integrity and professionalism. Nor am I comfortable representing any town entity without the support and confidence of the town board, which you informed me I no longer possess," end quote. But town council member Stephen Smith said that Brick does have the support and confidence of the town board. Smith said, and I quote, "When he writes that he doesn't have the support of the town board, it bothers me because I didn't share that opinion. I think he was an exceptional attorney, and I don't think that he should be the one resigning," end quote. Schmidt asked McHugh for an explanation as to why Brick was asked to resign. McHugh cut him off, saying, and I quote, "I'm not going to explain anything. Is there any other discussion?" end quote. Then the town board voted to hire the Albany-based law firm Tabor, Ryan, and Kearney. Read more about this story at theupstater.com. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast for Wednesday, March 15th. And we begin each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Mobil in Cairo has gas at $3.35 a gallon. That's the lowest according to the Gas Buddy website. The air quality forecast is just a 30. That is considered low on Wednesday. The UV index is a 4. That is in the moderate range. The water temperature in the Hudson River in Albany is at 39, almost 40 degrees, and it's been almost 38 degrees over average over the last 10 years on March 15th, so we're about 2 degrees above normal right now. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a partly sunny Wednesday with a high of 32, but it'll be windy with a northwest wind 21 to 23 miles per hour with gusts as high as 46 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Tonight, again, clear skies with a low around 25, but blustery with a northwest wind 14 to 22 miles per hour with gusts as high as 43 miles per hour. On Thursday, there are increasing clouds, and it's a bit warmer with a high of 43 and a west wind around 8 miles per hour. Thursday night should have a low around 34 and a continued southwest wind 3 to 6 miles per hour. Then on Friday, there is a 50% chance of showers with cloudy skies, a high of 45 and a south wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Friday night, those showers are again likely, mainly before 2 a.m., with cloudy skies and a low around 35. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
Hey, kids, gather around for Biz's Beat of the Day.
Okay.
Let's all do it together with Biz.
Okay, here's Biz's Beat of the Day.
One more time.
Now, practice that at home, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Here is brand new music from Food Man from Japan. His 2021 album, Yasuragi Land, is out, and this is Food Court from Food Man. Here's 2021 local music from Garcia Peoples, a Hudson Valley-based band with Copaic's PG6 included. The song's called False Company.
Next, we hear new music from Endless Boogie from their 2021 album, Admonitions. This song is The Offender.